Now playing.
Why so serious? What is the Matrix?
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Oh, what's in the box?
He likes scary movies.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars, fucking good film. That's right, guys, this week we are doing Star Wars, A New Hope. And if I'm going to review such an awesome film, I need to bring along two other awesome people, the first of which is Kahu.
Clockman is back. Yeah, I didn't actually watch this again, but I think it's one of those situations where you're watching it for the 18th time that the returns are a bit diminishing, so I'm pretty well up in knowledge on this one, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And if we're going to make this podcast better, we need to introduce new blood. We need a new hope. We need a new guy. How are you, Dan?
I'm good, thank you. I was going to call Kahu out for not watching the movie, but he can clean, so.
Yeah, good.
Let it be known that Kahu's reviewing a film that he hasn't seen recently. I don't trust him.
As in, like, the last year.
Too long.
I must have been, I tuned in and out when I rewatched this, but when you've watched it about 70,000 times, yeah.
Yeah, I tuned out too. I was on my phone. But I was looking at Star Wars stuff. It was sort of related.
Hey,
a bit of research, you know?
So yeah, for those playing at home that aren't actually planning on watching the movie, similar to Kahu, Kahu's going to hit you with a plot for this movie.
Can he be trusted, though?
Can he be trusted?
I might have forgotten what goes on.
Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Like, everyone's seen Star Wars. We don't need a plot for this, yeah. Do we, Kahu?
Baddies versus goodies.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Looking at the reviews for this movie, IMDb have the score at 8.6 out of 10. Metacritic have it at 90%. Rotten Tomatoes coming in at top at 93%. But, Dan, as our guest, you get to go first.
Thank you.
What would you give this as a score out of 10,000 exploding Death Star ports?
Such a shit movie, to be fair. I don't really think it's that good, but I have so many fond memories of it. I went and saw it in the cinema with my dad. It's got so much fun in it. But it's... So I'm going to go 5,000.
What?
It's simultaneously really amazing and I love it, and also not that good.
Holy shit!
Don't get me wrong, like, I love it, I do, and I've watched it a million times, but the more and more I watch it, the more I realise this isn't that good of a film, but I still love it. So that's why I went right down the middle.
Holy fuck!
Should have saved that for my controversial one, shouldn't I?
Shit, out of the gate, I thought you were a huge Star Wars fan. What?
I am. I got Lego Star Wars shit at home, loved Star Wars. But if I'm being honest with myself...
Yeah. Oh, good on you.
And that thump it's you refreshing. Might have just heard is Dan lying in a pool of his own blood on the garage floor.
Save us, Kahu. Our only hope.
Yeah. I'm going to be pretty consistent with what Metacritic's got here. I'm going for 9,000, whatever we're doing. Exhaust ports out of 10,000.
9,000, a flat 9.
Yep. I think of the...
It's a big score coming from Sam here.
the only reason it doesn't score higher is because I think it's probably the least best of the three movies in
the
trilogy.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? What? You think Jedi is better than this film?
Yeah, that battle with
fucking
Darth Vader.
No.
Darth Vader and Luke is just timeless.
Love an Ewok, though. They're good.
Who does the Ewoks?
I'm about to have a mental breakdown. What was really funny was when I started this podcast with Stacey back in the day, we listened to a lot of movie podcasts, and we were like, we don't want to be three dudes in a room talking about Star Wars and getting really frustrated and angry
at the other ones.
But now look, we've come full circle.
It's too close to home.
77 episodes in, and we've come to... I'm 10,000. I'm perfect score. No, actually, no. 9,991.
Is that 9 points off for C-3PO?
Yes. Fuck C-3PO. Fuck him in his golden ass. Fuck that guy.
So you would...
You want to fuck him in the ass? Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you wouldn't have it up there with Empire Strikes Back?
Empire Strikes Back is...
What's that, 999?
Gazillion.
Right.
That is my all-time favorite film.
Yeah, I think A New Hope to begin with, especially after the opening Darth Vader scene, is a little bit slow to begin with.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to kill myself.
Anyway, we better get into it.
Needed more Jar Jar.
Oh, my God.
While we're still talking to each other.
Holy fucking shit. What has happened? Anywho, don't even know how to start. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we ask 20 weird and wonderful questions about a film that one of us loves and the other two are going to get punched. Anyway,
I love it. I said that.
I gave it 9,000.
I tried to stress that.
Yeah.
I'm having regrets.
That's fine. So yeah, what we do is we ask 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 questions that we all answer. We then move into 3 personal questions each. And we finish sometimes on an all-answer question. Well, it is an all-answer question, but we sometimes finish on a listener question that we have thrown out there to you, our dearest listeners, to answer for us. So the question that we always start with is the compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film. And Dan, I'd love to hear from you first.
Not quite so controversial this time. Both the good things I like are sound related. When I sit down to the movie and the that opening note kicks off and the Star Wars theme comes on, it makes me tingly in the loins. Tickles my pickle, so to speak.
Nice.
Love that. I have to go see 3PO for the bad one. Totally agree. He's just a whiny bitch. Luke is a little bit too, to be fair.
Luke has his
moments, but C-3PO, just insufferable. And another audio one, the sound of a TIE fighter is just incredible. I love
iconic.
It.
What about you, Kahu?
It's kind of like your favourite Subway sub, you know, and you've got sort of about 12 different things in there. And they're all great. So,
yes,
actually the bad parts of this aren't actually all that bad. And the key bad part is just the complete lack of any kind of proper stormwater training. Stormtrooper training academy. Because all the stormtroopers are shit. But that's kind of quite a neat thing in the film, I think.
I've got a theory about that. We'll get onto that later.
Ooh.
Good parts. Darth Vader, one of the best baddies in cinema ever.
Yeah.
Especially that when you see him for the first time, you think there's just this massive kind of aura around him that he's just going to screw everybody over.
That's the Force.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. And the last good thing, I think just the vastness of the universe, that by the end of the movie you're kind of thinking, wow, and you're just wanting to see all of that as well.
Yeah, fair enough. For me, it's the special effects. From a film that's from 1977, sure, it's been touched up inappropriately a few times by...
Because they use, like, potatoes as asteroids or something, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tennis shoes, socks, shit like that.
And to make the things look like they were hovering, didn't they just rub Vaseline on the
put mirrors
on the film?
And Vaseline underneath it. But, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, you look at this film from 1977 and it's phenomenal what they managed to do with it.
It's not that different, eh, to the remixy one.
It's because it occupies a physical space, it looks way more believable than the CGI shit you see nowadays. And you're like, man, whatever. The bad thing for me is George Lucas does not know how to write dialogue. And like the prequels were a great example of this. But even in this, there's some moments and lines and conversations between characters that you're like, oh, this is a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, one really good thing is like, it is the warrior's journey from hapless individual in the middle of nowhere to savior of the universe. And in a way, it's just like, it's a story that's as old as time, but because they've added so much in terms of like sound that Dan was talking about and the special effects and such a memorable like villain in Darth Vader, it's a combination of things that even though it's a well-worn story, they still play it out expertly. So anywho, that moves us on to question number two, which was one of our Patreon questions. For the princely sum of $5 a month, you get to have your question thrown into our first set of 10 questions. And this one comes courtesy of the amazing man that is Phil Joyntson. And what would he like to know, Dan?
What item from this film would you want or definitely not want to be?
I wouldn't want to be one of those trash droids on the Death Star. You know, they kind of scurry around the floor. Because people just actually do just give you shit all day. And then you get blown up.
They don't get any credit for the work that they're doing.
No.
It's ignored.
It's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
Feel a bit of a kinship with that droid? Is that what you're trying
to say? Yeah. I just deal with everybody's shit all day.
Have you considered changing career?
For me, the obvious answer is I don't want to be Alderaan or Alderaan or Alderaan or whatever the fuck they call it in all the different versions throughout the film. I don't want to be Alderaan. I'm just sitting there chilling out, peaceful planet, you know, just doing my own thing. Suddenly this fucking ship turns up. Hey, what are you guys up to? Dead. Goodbye.
Yeah, I've always found that a bit weird in this movie, like just kind of the lack of impact a billion people dying has. You're just kind of like, oh, that planet's been destroyed. But, you know, apart from Princess Leia looking a bit horrified, you're just kind of like, okay, move on.
Princess Leia, who's been like, what, I don't know how old she is, 18 to 20 sort of thing, years of her life on this planet, has just watched everybody die. And she's just like, hey, aren't you a little bit short to be a stormtrooper? She's not bawling her eyes out when Luke fucking discovers her.
Yeah.
I don't think this actually features in the movie, but I thought immediately of Jabba the Hutt's toilet seat.
No, Jabba. Oh, Jabba is in the movie, though.
He is, so, yeah.
Yes, yeah. He is in the special edition. Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine him sitting on your face to go to the toilet?
I'm sad, but
I have imagined it, and I don't want to be it. I need to get out more.
About 20 folds covering his butthole.
He's kind of like a long, he's got a long sluggy tail on the back there, doesn't he? So
he probably has attendants with sticks that like pull the folds back.
A droid.
Yeah.
That's a worse droid job than the one that you talked about.
Unfills butt flaps.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's it. Oh, no, still got another one to go. It's like tree rings.
Jesus Christ. You can actually tell his age by the number of butt flaps. My butt rings, yeah. Oh, that's a pleasant pull. That's a great answer, Dan. And that moves on to question number three, Kahu.
Question number three. What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
I've got two. I've got like a serious and a fun one. So I'm going to throw them all out there and see which one works. The serious one is, holy shit, are droids like the slaves of the universe? Because they feel, they're sentient, they've got emotion, you know, all that sort of shit. But they're just made to do whatever the fuck they want. In fact, C-3PO even says, it's our job. We're made to suffer. It's our lot in life.
Yes, I guess so.
I guess
he even gets tired and shit. Like when they're walking through the desert, it's like, oh, my joints are so sore. Like,
exactly.
You're a fucking robot. Keep walking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The other one, the less serious one, is when I was a kid, I used to dream about opening up my front door and there's the Millennium Falcon. Han and Chewie come out and they're like, hey, do you want to come for a trip around the galaxy? And when I was a kid, I was like, sure. And then I was thinking, if that happened now, would I still... Yeah, I would actually.
Doesn't that actually happen on some other movie? Spaceship?
Starfighter or something?
Yeah.
But like just the idea of it. Like if Han and Chewie showed up right now and were like, hey, we need some short, fat, bored white dude to come traveling around the universe with us.
I'm your man.
See you, Stacey.
Do you guys have KFC? No. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm all right. What about
me?
You, Dan? Yeah.
Philosophical debate. Well, I had a couple. One is that they've got humanoids sort of getting around in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago, which calls the theory of evolution very much into question. But I'm not sure if that's philosophy or not, more science.
Mm.
My second one is that Luke clearly has the hots for Leia, and I believe that's an actual phenomenon where siblings who have never met before and then meet as adults, it's common for them to get the hots for each other. So that's very interesting philosophically. I've only got a brother, so and I've always known him, so I don't find him attractive.
But you're not ruling it out that if you didn't know.
No, maybe. I haven't seen
if you
him.
Had an unknown
I haven't
sister.
Seen him for a couple of months now, so maybe next time I see him, I've grown closer to him.
Interesting.
Oh, dear.
How are you, John?
So my one was, if there was an actual force on Earth and people could use it, would there be more Sith than Jedis?
Oh, fuck yeah, there would.
And how does that reflect on the human race?
Well, that's deep.
That is deep. Could you imagine if every single internet troll had the fucking power of the Force?
Oh,
got into
yeah.
an argument with someone, then starts force choking people down through fucking...
We have to assume that not everyone could use it, though, right? Only the people that with the midichlorians or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon a good 90% of Force users would be Siths.
90?
Yeah, there would be none of
I'd
this.
I'd go with like 99, to be honest.
One master, one apprentice shit. Everybody being on it.
Okay, and that moves us on to question number four. Which character from this film just clearly needs to get laid?
I think it's kind of the Skywalkers in general on that front. I mean, there's no way...
You don't mean to give it, right?
No.
You're not going all Game of Thrones on us.
No.
It's a real thing. You can't blame them.
Oh, there's no way a needy little brat like Luke Skywalker can even pull a droid. But to be honest, it's got to be Darth Vader. I mean, it's been, what, 20 years since he was with Princess Amidala? And
shit, that's a good
nobody's
answer.
Going anywhere near him now because he's clearly way too into his asphyxiation.
Did his dick get burnt off, though? He lost his bottom half, didn't he, pretty much?
He lost his legs.
If we can speak briefly about the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, the prequel, yeah. I feel like he just lost his legs in an arm or two, maybe?
He lost his legs. He must have got at least singed.
Yeah, because he was lying face down on a lava pool, so he must have...
Oh, jeez, that'd be another terrible job, changing his catheter.
Hopefully he uses the Force with that one.
Hey, that's good. You wouldn't have to get up and go to the toilet. Right? You could just use the Force to just pee anywhere.
Yeah, just
and go... And just send it off to the toilet.
Yeah. So you can force.
You never have to get up.
Throw it out onto the road into oncoming traffic.
Like make it like turn around corners and shit.
Exactly.
Watch out if you're walking down the hallway.
Put on a water show.
It's Vader piss.
It's Vader piss.
It probably burns your eyes or something.
You wouldn't have to get up in the middle of a movie. You could drink beer. You could just drink beer throughout the movie and not worry about it. Off to the toilet.
It's like a background app going in the back of your mind.
I feel like we've just all answered our question 20 already. Damn it.
Sam, what do you got for that one?
Oh, no, we haven't done Dan yet, actually.
Do droids have sex? No, they probably don't. They thought of everything else in the droids that they're making, so they're probably sex ones.
You haven't seen the latest Solo film, have you?
Are the droids having sex in that?
Lando fucks a droid.
Is she hot?
On a scale of I've never had sex with a robot to yes.
Sexy robot.
It kind of alludes to it, eh? Like, way too much alludes to it.
Like, they talk about how they're in love.
Yeah.
And one of them says, oh, but how does it work? And the droid says, yeah, it can work.
Does she get knocked up?
Spoiler for Solo. No, she becomes the Millennium Falcon.
Lando fucks a robot who gives birth to the Millennium Falcon.
No, she becomes part of the Falcon's computer system or something.
Because I think the droid kind of dies and then he uploads her sentience,
it's a touching moment, isn't it? Yeah. Who needs to get laid? It's Luke. It's just Luke.
So we went through the droid conversation and it's roundabout to Luke. Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, it's not the droids. Yeah. Really. He's just a whiny little bitch and I think the touch of a woman might calm him down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sengi soon becomes a Jedi after this and they're like the monks of the universe, aren't they? They never have sex. So yeah. Because Jedis can't like have companions or anything.
Oh yeah. I think you're not allowed to have emotions, so you're not allowed to have love and that means not having a wife and all that sort of shit.
Oh, so you can just head down to the whorehouse then.
Imagine Yoda having sex with another Yoda.
That's that other Yoda in the prequels.
Yeah,
Anyway. Yeah, let's not. Let's move on.
The one I was thinking of was Chewbacca. Chewbacca's sworn this life debt to stand by and protect Han Solo. And Han Solo is a dirtbag. He's a sleazy scoundrel dude that's probably banging Strange in every bloody town, city, sport that he goes to. And Chewbacca's sworn to take gone along with this. As we discover in the Star Wars Christmas special, Chewie's got a wife. He's very committed to his wife. In fact, that's the only person he wants to be with.
But he never sees her.
So Chewbacca needs to get laid, man.
So and he has to stand next to Han while he fucks girls.
Pretty well. That's what I'm imagining. Is just we need to go find a job. And by the way, Chewie, do you mind holding the camera while I pick up this chick? You know.
Oh gee, you can just imagine that, eh? They get a twin room, and Han's over there, and Chewie's on his lying on his bed with his big furry hands over his head. Just going,
exactly.
What does Han tell the girl when they get back to the living quarters of the Falcon? Oh, don't mind Chewie over there.
Yeah. But do you want to stroke my Wookiee? Anywho, that moves us on to question number 5.
What thing about this movie did you notice that you don't think other people may have immediately noticed?
So in the docking bay of the Death Star, you'll see when you'll see when the ships fly in that they kind of dock. And especially near the end of the movie where the stormtroopers all run out when they're trying to escape back to the Millennium Falcon. There's like all these holes, which I can only guess are where they kind of store ships and then bring them up when they're about to fly out. And given the complete lack of any expertise in anything of these stormtroopers, I just reckon the stormtroopers are always going to fall in there.
Oh yeah, probably.
And there needs to be more fluoro cones around to outline this hazard.
You're concerned with the health and safety of stormtroopers on board the Death Star.
Yeah, yeah.
They're clones, mate. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Funny thing was, when I first saw this movie way back when, even though the stormtroopers talk, I just kind of thought they were robots because they never took their masks off.
I did too.
Yeah. That's a good point. The thing I noticed that's quite well known on the internet is that one point all the stormtroopers go walking through the door to harass C-3PO and RTD2, and C-3PO is just, you know, hanging out doing whatever. One of the stormtroopers on the far right smashes his head face first into the top of the doorway. It's one of the most notorious mistakes in film history. And the thing I noticed is that when those stormtroopers then leave to go and chase down Han and Luke and all that, the stormtrooper that bashes his head gets told, hey, you stay here and watch these guys. It's almost like they knew, or it's almost like there was one guy sitting in there and helmet severely concussed, barely on his feet, and they're like, the guy's like, okay, now here's the direction, you just tell anyone of these stormtroopers to stay here. And that stormtrooper's standing there like, holy fuck, I can't walk under another door, what the fuck is going on?
Does that imply that he's taller than the others?
He's notably taller,
so that doesn't quite fit with the premise of them all being clones in the prequels, does it?
Yes.
Must have had a mutation.
Not like Star Wars, they have a ton of plot holes.
No way. I think that Obi-Wan's, what would you say, his pseudonym that he assumes to try and hide from the Empire and protect Luke is ridiculous. He's trying to hide and he's like, oh, what could I change Obi-Wan Kenobi to? Ben Kenobi. They'll never find me.
It's like those
and that's
memes.
Exactly what he did.
It's like those memes going around where it's like, hey, do you mind if I copy your homework? Yeah, but just make a few changes so the teacher doesn't notice.
Ooh, Ben.
Never mind that he's hanging out within bloody a drive's distance of Anakin's bloody uncle and auntie or cousins or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They hide him with his own family.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, question 6.
Which is also a Patreon question, and this comes courtesy of the amazingly Emily Higgins and her podcast, The Tasteless Podcast. Tasteless Podcast compares two movies, one that she thinks is awesome and everybody hates, and one that everyone loves and she thinks is meh, whatever. She's probably going to do a Star Wars episode after this and talk about how fucking wrong I am, but who cares? Good on you, Emily. We love your show and always check it out. Everyone should too, and a link is in the show notes. So hit us with it, Co.
Thanks, Emily. Question 6. What film would be the best or worst to watch as a double feature with this film?
I'm going to go with another George Lucas film, Howard the Duck, as the worst, because Howard the Duck is fucking terrible.
Howard the Duck?
Yes.
I've never heard of that one.
And don't check it out.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
It's based on a Marvel comic, and it's basically an alien duck comes to Earth, and yeah, exactly.
I love it. I want to watch it.
You will. It's so bad as good, but yeah.
Roger Rabbit animation, is it?
No, he's walking around in a duck suit. You see duck boobs.
I've got to see this.
It's almost worth seeing just because it's weird. But I think if you watch Star Wars and then watch that, you'd be like, yeah, I'm out of George Lucas at the moment.
It's kind of along the same lines as what I was going to answer with, because I had a complete mind blank. I couldn't think of a damn thing that would go well with Star Wars other than more Star Wars. So I'm just going to make a shameless plug for another shitty movie that would obviously be bad because it's just straight bad, and that's Tammy the T-Rex. I tried to convince Sam to do this movie in one of these podcast episodes, but no luck yet. But it's the totally relatable story of a man whose mind gets implanted into an animatronic T-Rex, and then Tammy falls in love with it. It's really something.
Stars Paul Walker, R.I.P., yeah. And Denise Richards.
Kicked their careers off, I think.
I've only managed to find a YouTube trailer for it. I've tried finding the DVD or VHS. Emily is actually a massive fan of Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, Emily.
I think she only found a very shitty VHS copy from the 90s or something. But
it's good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going for any Star Trek film, because if you were a newbie to both film universes, you'd just have no idea what was going on.
I've never seen anything Star Trek, ever.
Yes, that's right. That's a purist.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Star Trek either.
That's a fucking lie. Look at that face.
I might have seen one or two movies.
Okay, moves us on to what has quickly become one of our fan favorite questions. What quote from this film would be the worst to hear straight after you finish having sex?
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
I've gone for just anything that Chewie ever says. Just a big Wookiee howl.
That's the thing that I wanted to hear immediately after sex. That sounds amazing.
I think it'd be worse during, though, wouldn't it, than after?
Yeah.
Right at the climax.
Just kind of imply there's pain involved.
I'm just going to go with, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you. Who the fuck are you, dude?
After sex. Yeah, exactly. You're waiting till then to introduce yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You're waiting for me to finish and now he's here to rescue me.
Such a gentleman.
Sort of implies that maybe I have been tied up and he's trying to rescue me.
You've been tied up?
I've been tied up because he's there to rescue me. Oh. He's breaking me out of a dungeon.
I thought you were telling us a true story.
No, yeah, I am, but... Okay, Dan, question number eight.
Question number eight. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
The Stacey question.
This was actually a lot tougher than I thought it would be, but I think he could have actually made a decent cameo as the Emperor if the Emperor was in this
really?
Movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's...
He wouldn't even need to wear a wig, probably.
Interesting. There's a couple of obvious answers. I basically imagined him at that round table when Darth Vader chokes out that dude. It was like, your sorcerous ways couldn't find the fucking plans, blah, 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 blah. I could just imagine Nicolas Cage just sitting there as like some sort of lackey, you know, just like, yeah, you couldn't do shit, Vader, yeah. And then just choke slammed across the room. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd get like a bit of a hard on with his crazy eyes just looking at the choking, hey, I reckon.
True, yes.
I thought he would have made a good human version of the monster that's in the trash compactor, you know, when they're getting crushed. And then there's a bit, I think, with a little eye pops out. If it was Nicolas Cage's head instead. And a little crazy eye is like, yee! And then he ducks under the water again and drags Luke under. It'd be quite good.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer.
They could have actually subbed him in the new Star Wars movies instead of doing the CGI Grand Moff Tarkin.
That would have been interesting. Yeah. He does look a bit like Grand Moff Tarkin. He's definitely got the hairline.
Yeah, yes.
Or what if they just took out R2-D2 and had him with like blue and white paint on his face and he's going boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop,
boop. Oh, that's even better. Like, that's golden, man.
And turn the thing into the power on the Millennium Falcon and go, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
That moves us to question nine. What's your most controversial opinion about this film?
Look, I don't care who your favorite character is in this movie, they are a dumbass. Every single character just struck me as being completely moronic. Let's start off with the moron that doesn't blow up the escape pod. He lives in a universe in which there's droids that can, you know, operate machinery and all that sort of shit. And an escape pod shoots off and he's like, no, leave it. You know, there's no life forms on board. Why not fucking blow them up?
Yeah.
How expensive is blaster fire? The uncle brings up his father. Then when Luke gets really excited about, oh, do you know my father? He's like, you drop it. No, you don't talk about that. Don't talk about that at all. Han charges into a massive group of stormtroopers and leaves his friends behind, just screaming, just like a fucking Muppet. C-3PO doesn't go and get Luke the second R2-D2 goes on a walkabout. Yeah, like, what are you doing back there? Oh, R2-D2's run away. What the fuck are you doing hanging out in the back of a fucking room then? Obi-Wan hands Luke a lightsaber, and surprisingly, Luke doesn't cut off his arm immediately or Obi-Wan's face. Just, hey, here's this.
Sorry, Ben.
Ben Kenobi. Sorry, I forgot. Ben Kenobi hands him a lightsaber. Doesn't tell him how to use it. Doesn't tell him to point it in a direction or anything like that. Like, imagine if somebody walked in here right now with an RPG and was like, hey, here you go. What's this? Oh, it was your dad's. It was your dad's. Here, have a go of it. Oh, it was my dad's. Oh, wicked. Boom.
And he does just push a button. Exactly. He turns it on. He just took the plunge and pushed the button.
Yeah. And finally, Leia. Leia has the jump on stormtroopers at the start. She spots the stormtroopers coming after her. There's three of them. She waits for them to look at her, and then she decides to shoot them. And then once she's shot one, rather than blow the other two away, she tries to run away down the hallway where they've got an immediate shot of her back. What does Leia do? Honestly, every single character in this is a moron. Still love it, though. Still love it.
The strategist for the attack on the Death Star. Like, we'll fly perpendicular to the Death Star. Through a fucking tunnel for... They must have flown around the Death Star twice, I reckon. That scene was so long.
Exactly.
If they'd have flown at it and fired the torpedoes at the exhaust port or whatever it was, they would have gone straight in and...
Let's get ourselves concentrated in a trench.
Which they've lined with guns.
Which they've lined with guns. Everyone in this movie is a moron.
Yeah, I think I've already sort of touched on my controversial opinion that I don't reckon it's actually that good, despite the fact that I love it and would watch it a million times again. You've touched on all these plot holes, and we've been whinging about annoying characters and stuff. There's a lot not to like about the movie.
Yeah, there is. I admittedly, like, as much as I love it, and much as I've got a raging boner for it, there is a lot in this film that you're like, well, that's kind of dumb.
I'm going with that C-3PO and R2-D2 didn't actually get their memories wiped, and their whole purpose in this adventure is to cause as much havoc as possible to get back at all the humans that have treated them like a Tauntaun's asshole for all these years.
So you think they're just playing a massive prank game on the entire fucking
world? Oh, yeah.
Like galaxy or whatever.
The whole reason C-3PO is even more annoying than usual and R2-D2 just runs off, it's, you know, it's just a big funny game.
He's basically an internet troll in a droid's body.
Just out there
taking the piss out of everyone.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fuck you, C-3PO. Fuck you.
That's awesome. And that moves us down to our final all-play question, which would be, what would the porn parody for this film be called? And by the way, I've done a quick search. There's a million of them out there.
Yeah, I held off the Google search for this one, but I came up with Three Men and an Orifice.
Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so good. What do you got, Dan?
Princess Leia or Darth Laid Her? No, that's all I've got. So it's tricky. It's tricky. The main... I did Google Star Wars porn and spent a good day going deep,
so to speak.
But no, the main one's just called Star Wars XXX, which is not very creative.
Yeah. You'd think it'd be called Star Wars, wouldn't you?
Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah. I went with Bondage Wars, A New Rope. That was the best I could come up with. And that moves us on to our personal questions, which are questions that we ask of each other and don't have to answer ourselves. So, Kahu, why don't you lead us off with your three personal questions?
Yep. Question 11, the first of mine. If you were Princess Leia, how would you respond to Luke saying, I'm Luke Skywalker, and I'm here to rescue you?
Well, she's already said, aren't you a little too short for a stormtrooper? Mm. As soon as he said that, I would have said, aren't you a little too whiny to be a hero?
Nice.
I couldn't think of a thing that I would do in her place, but I'm damn sure I wouldn't be doing what she was doing, which was like lying very seductively in her prison cell.
That's
like,
weird, eh?
Paint me one of your French girls kind of pose that she'd struck.
Yeah. She's got
What is she doing in there?
She's got the whole Titanic pose on painting, eh?
You're just hanging out.
She must have known he was coming to be lying there like that. I would probably say what she said, which is who.
Yeah,
I think it's an appropriate response.
Yeah, he gives a shit who you are.
Has he just been gallant and saying what his name is?
I'm Luke Skywalker. Yeah. You may have heard of me. I used to work in a moisture farm in the back end of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. My second question 12. How well do you think Star Wars would be received today, given it really has only one female character?
Well, the internet hates everything, so I imagine the internet would hate this film too.
Well, I think it says it all that they've learned from that now, because they're releasing the new trilogy and it's got the lead as a girl. So they've climate is different, isn't it? And they're doing the right thing now.
Mm. Same on Solo and Rogue One as well. They've got strong female characters. Mm.
Even still, like, Leia is probably the least moronic character in this film.
Yeah, and she's the one female character, and she's pretty badass.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
She's a powerful female character, but then they kind of fucked it up by dressing her up in a sexy metal bikini in the next in the next movie.
Not to mention that George Lucas basically said to her, you're not allowed to wear a bra during this film. And Carrie Fisher famously said that the reason why George Lucas said this is because in space, you wouldn't have any gravity and stuff like that, so your boobs would be going anywhere, so it'd actually be really sore for you to wear a bra. It wouldn't make any sense. So Leia...
That's next level perving from George Lucas.
Massively next level. So Carrie Fisher basically said, when I die, I want it to read that I was strangled to death on my own bra. So that was her like big thing, which is pretty fucking awesome of her.
Question 13. What is more damaging to the Empire in this movie? The hubris of Grand Moff Tarkin or the ineptness of stormtroopers to boot anywhere near straight?
Look, both of these are fucking moronic. But I reckon it's the stormtroopers. I reckon the stormtroopers, if they knew how to shoot straight, jeez, it would have been a short film.
Yeah, it's not like they didn't have their opportunities.
C-3PO and R2-D2 wouldn't have gotten away.
No.
At the start.
No, yeah. Exactly.
And that would have been, well, rebellion over.
Exactly.
Luke would have kept on farming water, whatever he's doing.
But even the part when they're in the Death Star and they've like got through that door and then the stormtroopers are shooting at them from the other side. It's like you're shooting at somebody from about 10 metres, 20 metres.
They've got nothing to hide behind.
Nothing to hide behind. You've got no armour. Yeah, yeah. Get the drop on them. Hey, shoot. There they are. Let's shoot them. Oh, no, let's just completely miss.
Over and over. For quite an extended scene.
That moves us on to your question, Sam.
Yeah, so we've talked about how much of a whiny-ass dude Luke is, and at one point he says that he just wants to go to Toshi Station to pick up some power converters, to which his uncle replies that he can waste his time with his friends later. Just what the hell is Luke and his mates doing wasting time with power converters? What are they using them for?
My mind went to huffing Nos.
that's a good one. Just getting high, hanging out. Yeah.
What else would you do on that fucking planet?
Yeah, I pretty much went down the same track. I just think that they use these power converters to sit around all day sniffing the acid or whatever's in them and getting high, staring into the twin suns across the dunes of Tatooine.
Nice. Like, we don't answer our own questions, but I immediately thought of droid orgy. A droidgy?
Droidgy. <Yeah. laughs>
So we've already touched on it. Most of the Empire staff, be it a stormtrooper, officer, whatever, are complete morons. And there's a ton to pick from this film, but what do you guys reckon? Which staff member from the Empire most deserved to get sacked, fired, choked out by Vader, whatever?
So I think it's got to be the naval architect who thought that the thermal exhaust port was necessary. Because I've always thought that's a bit weird, like, why would you build this thing if it has a fault?
Have you seen Rogue One?
Rogue One fills that plot hole.
I know that. But still, I read more into it, and it was some bullshit excuse, like the Wookiee that was working on it told the naval architect to change it. And then that Wookiee was sick for the day. And so the other Wookiee that replaced him just did it anyway. And I'm just like, sort your quality control out.
There must have been an army of engineers working on the Death Star. So
This is coming from an engineer.
The one guy that's on the rebellion or whatever. And he's like, no, we're going to build that exhaust port there. He must have had an army of engineers working for him.
Yeah.
And none of them questioned it.
You sure you want me to design it this way? Give me half an hour. I'll patch that right up. No, it stays.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. He must have been a great boss.
Yeah.
A lot of sway over his employees. Yeah. My answer for that one, I'm going to give the stormtroopers the benefit of the doubt. We know that the clones of old Boba or Jango, whichever one, so they are good gunmen by nature. So we have to lay the blame with the guy who designed the blasters.
Yeah.
Mm. The blaster designer guy. He's to blame.
Shit, that's
he
a good
fucked
line.
The whole thing up.
Yeah.
I think they're faulty guns. Faulty blasters.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think when the stormwaters shoot. Do they like fire from the hip or do they actually kind of line it up properly? Or
part way in between, I think.
Sort of from the chest.
Yeah. Back to my moron comment. I saved him for this one. Grand Moff Tarkin. They've got plans. They know how to blow up your Death Star. You run a complete fucking fleet of ships that could blow up the planet if you wanted to. But no, you're going to send your most precious asset and then retreat. Now, moment of triumph. Yes, you fucking moron.
How did
you get to the top, you dickhead?
Even more on that, though, you know, the Death Star and all the ships in this movie have got supercomputers that can calculate hyperspace to arrive at a certain point in space.
Yeah, I'm going to land on
billions of miles away.
Also, they know which planet they're going to go and blow up with the Death Star. So what do? They go and put it into orbit around the next door planet.
The next door
planet. So then they've got to wait for the orbit to come all the way around to blow up the one that they're trying to aim for. They should have just, A, gone straight to the planet they wanted to destroy or blow that other planet up, get it out of the way.
Is it
firing range within 15 minutes? Yeah. And that moves me on to my final question, which is, who is the real unsung hero of this film?
I've gone with two, and they're Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Because they have to lie for this little uppity shit for 20 years, and then they get incinerated by stormtroopers.
That's a great answer.
We've already touched on the unsung hero that I'm going to go with, and that's the exhaust port designer fella.
Galen Erso.
For his people management, more than anything. Just keeping all those engineers in line, knowing that they're designing something that's clearly fucked up.
That's awesome. I'd like to point out that at the end of the film, when they're all getting medals, Chewie doesn't get one. That always fucked me off. Oh. He had just as much part. You know he convinced Han to go back and fucking help Luke.
Yeah.
You know he was like the fucking moral compass.
Maybe they didn't have one with a ribbon big enough to fit around his neck at the time. It would have looked like a little kind of medallion. Like a choker.
Like a choker.
Like a lady necklace. Right on his throat.
Sorry, what are you trying to say, Chewie? Bondage war. Okay, Dan, that moves us on to your questions.
Righto. Question number 17. What would you replace the sound of the TIE fighter with for maximum comedic effect?
Oh, I had a lot of answers to this, but I'm going to go with like an oompa band, like a...
That would kind of throw me out of the movie.
I'm going with the ding message alert of the Apple iPhone. Because just like that ding, the TIE fighter is really inconvenient and likely to smash to bits the very instant it brushes some other object. Made for speed, TIE fighters, not for strength.
How funny would it be if their exploding sound had been like the windows shutting down?
And it just like pixelates out into the galaxy.
I'm going to re-edit that film to make it look like that.
Number 18, what would your Sith name be?
I've gone with a bit of a mashup here and I'm going Darth Neo. So I'd have Sith skills and Matrix skills.
Unstoppable.
So I actually went online and tried to find a Sith name generator to see what would come out. So I had to answer like 25 different questions about Star Wars. Oh, shit. And then it came out with Darth Probable. I took one look at that and I was like, maybe that means Darth Probable. And if, and if it's Darth Probable, that sort of fits into the Bondage Wars, A New Rope.
How did you answer the questions to get such a boring suggestion?
I know, Darth Probable.
Yeah. I can just imagine going into a duel and you going, I'm Darth Probable. And the Jedi just falling all over himself laughing.
It's likely that I'm going to win.
It's very likely.
It's probable.
Well, that's what I'm imagining is that whoever the guy was that designed the quiz was like, okay, only the super fucking nerds are going to get this. So it's probable that this guy that answered all this is sitting in his parents' basement right now. So I'm just going to call him Darth Probable. There you go. It's probable you have no life.
You are sitting in a shed talking about Star Wars with two mates.
That's correct.
My last question, which two characters would you breed together to create the ultimate friend, lover, or similar? And why?
To breed together as a friend, I would breed Chewbacca and R2-D2.
Oh, shit, son. That's close to my one.
Oh, because they're both, well, as a mixture, they'll be loyal, smart, and strong.
I'm visualizing just a little hairy robot on wheels.
Yeah, <same. laughs>
What sound does it make? Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop.
I was thinking Han and Leia, because there's no way that those two could breed an emo, an annoying dickhead. Yeah, there's no way that would happen. But then I thought about it, and I was like, I'd really like a friend that could rip people's arms off but also speak 6 million languages. So I want C-3PO and Chewbacca to have a kid.
I guess the height would be similar. It'd just be like a hairy robot.
Exactly.
More hairy robots.
A golden hairy robot. And that moves us down to our final question, which is the listener question. So hint me with it, guys. If you guys had the power of the Force, how would you use it in your day-to-day life?
We touched on it before, but I would use it to never have to go to the toilet again. I could just stand up and poo in the middle of the living room and then force my poop to the bathroom. And then I just sit back down.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Also, making sandwiches would be great because you could just...
Poop sandwiches?
No, unrelated. Quite unrelated. Imagine just going, putting your hand out and then all of the ingredients just emerge from the fridge and assemble on a piece of bread.
Shit, that'd be good.
Yeah, I guess with that poo thing, you know, if you had a really bad neighbor, you could just like accidentally float it through their living room window.
Your dog's been fucking shitting on my lawn again. Yeah, my dog.
Psych.
So every time I walk past an ATM, I would force a couple of hundy out, so I've always got some pocket change.
That's a good one.
For a more benevolent use, seeing we've had a lot of wildfires lately, I'd just like sit on my couch, drinking a beer, and just kind of force some seawater.
Nice. For me, I would use it for home security. You know, the Emperor has lightning that he shoots out of his fingers. I fucking hate cats. And I hate cats coming off my property.
Whoa.
So if a cat came around here, get the fuck off my property. It's just like, you know, door-to-door salesman. Zip. I wouldn't kill them. I'd just give them a quick zap just a
warning shot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like the Emperor doesn't immediately kill Luke when he zaps him with lightning, so that's what I'd do. Just quick zaps out of my fingers.
If you own a cat, don't invite Sam to your house.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm making a mental note.
The other thing is, too, like, you know, we record podcasts, I play Xbox, the power bills are through the roof. I want to be able to power my own house. Just come home every day, zap some, I don't know, conductor, I can't work it out.
A power converter.
Go to Toshi Station, pick up some power converters, come home, droid orgy, and then zap. Anywho, shall we hear what our listeners had to say?
Please.
We should.
First, we're going to start off with the IMDb Journey podcast. Now, the IMDb Journey podcast recently had me on one of their episodes to do a quiz. I'm going to put a link to their show in the show notes below. We did a movie quiz between basically me, Dean from the IMDb Journey podcast, Billy from We Watch the Thing, and Paul from the Countdown podcast. Not going to say who won or spoil anything like that, but you guys should go check it out. One New Zealander versus four Australians. Anyway, Dan from the IMDb Journey podcast said, I'd park the freeway at peak hour like I'm bloody Bruce Almighty. Enjoy a cushy drive home from work.
I did think of that one. That was one of my options too.
Yep. Over to John Mark Junkins, who runs a podcast called Junk About Movies. Yeah, another show that I'm going to be on very soon, or we'll talk a little bit more about in future episodes. He said he would force project an image of himself at work so he could watch Star Wars all day instead. Hopefully this wouldn't be as strenuous as it seemed to be in The Last Jedi, and he wouldn't result in his immediate death.
Worth it. Not going to work.
That's a great answer. I used to watch this, obviously using it to get a beer out of the fridge while watching TV.
Yep. Solid. Or a sandwich.
Tara Maholic basically put in speech quotes, we will get out of the house on time this morning. You will clean your room. Endless possibilities. I have kids.
Yes. Mum life.
Renegade. How would I use the Force? I'd use Jedi mind tricks to persuade my boss that she will not only approve me to be off for the rest of the year, but pay me as well. Hashtag, these are not the droids. Rethink your life. Emily Higgins, that we mentioned before from Tasteless Podcast, said she would never stand up again.
Yeah.
Everything would be floated to me. Food, the remote, possibly a bedpan.
Oh, that's a bit more sanitary than my idea.
Gillian Ashton, I would use the Force to yeet Donald Trump straight into the sun. Contrarians that we mentioned before. Julio said, anytime someone's an asshole at work, I'd make them shit their pants. That's I imagine making it all the way through. That's within the Force's range, right?
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. A podcast about something. Mostly getting the remote when it's on the other side of the room. Also make my kids fly. Safely. I like how he's put safely in bracket. Like, hey, if that's the Child Protective Services watching this, I'd do it safely. Steve from Everything I Learned from Movies. Another great podcast, and I was on their one recently, Fantasy Draft for Street Fighter. You guys should check that out. I'll put a link in the notes below. I'd like to say helping women and children escape from a burning building or some mess, but really it'd be choking fools out and saying, I'm not touching him. I'm not touching him. Eric Brennan Hunt. I would use it to get George Lucas to erase the three movies that start with The Phantom Menace and never speak of them again. Ooh. I think there's a lot of people that would agree with you there, mate. Dos Ex Macchiato. Let's just say the bad drivers and deep culverts would be developing far deeper and more meaningful relationships. Oh, shit.
Dark thinking here. Yeah.
Clint Algeri. When my daughters start dating and bring home a dude who prefers another trilogy over the original this is the boy you are looking for. Stork said, you know when you flick shut a cupboard door, walk away, then realize it didn't quite close all the way? That. Also, I have already tried force closing that door more than once. Super good question. That's the name of the podcast. Have you ever heard of The Stranger? It's where you lay on your hand until it's numb and then jerk off. Having the ability to use the force would be the ultimate stranger.
I wish I'd thought of that one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Who does that?
Who doesn't do it?
Lie in the hand until it goes
shame
numb.
Shame to admit that when you said, have you heard of The Strange? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you just. And then finally over to our Facebook community. We had a couple of answers there as well. First up is Topher from the We Watch the Thing podcast that I mentioned that I was on recently with on the IMDb Journey podcast. He said, back in school, I would have used the mind control to convince people that bowl cuts were really cool. Nowadays, do you think midichlorians can cure gout? Good on you, Toph. Nick McAllister, I've also got to give a massive special shout out to Nick McAllister. You would have seen my interview that I did for Nick McAllister recently. You should check it out. Check out his blog. I'll put a link in it below. Awesome dude. He said he'd use mind control to convince people that just because you may eat quinoa doesn't make you cool or hip, but in fact dull and boring, and you should eat a burger filled with onion rings and chips. You tell him, Nick.
As long as he can cure gout. Gout cases are going to go up.
And finally over to good old Spanky, who was on recently, and he actually gave me a verbal rundown, but he's written a comment here that he'd go to a restaurant or bar where there were heaps of romantic dates and force push guys so that they spill their drink or food all over the date they're with. He also has mentioned to me he'd start force choking them. So while they're like, hey, so what do you do for a job?
Does he then swoop in and save the date? Yeah, probably. You look like you're having a shit date, love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come with me.
But touching on what you said before, it does go to prove that most of these people would use their force powers for fucking bad shit.
Yeah. Sith uses. 90%, you said. That's pretty fair.
Yeah, it's pretty fair. And so that takes us down to the end of the podcast. Thank you to everyone for listening, but also thanks to these two guys for coming on one of my favourite films.
Yeah, one of my favourite films too, so I'm gloriously here.
Gloriously here.
That doesn't make any sense.
Glory holding you here.
It's been glorious to be here with
you. It's been a great experience.
My favourite 5 out of 10 movie there is.
Nice. So anyway, yeah, that's the end of our show. Anybody out there would like to get in contact with us, you can find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews and 20Qs. You can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In. You can also send us an email at mritqs@gmail.com. Yeah, that's pretty much it. If you like this podcast and listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review if you want. You know, why not?
Do what you like.
And that's thanks from me.
Ciao.
Goodbye.